Good afternoon.
Bears fans, this is Take the North.
We're going to take the North and never give it back.
Hello again and welcome to the Take the North podcast, along with Dan Weider of the Chicago Tribune. I'm Mark Grody, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. This program is coming to you from Soldier Field, where again, we saw a devastating loss. The Bears lose to the Packers 20-19. Cairo Santos missing a 46-yard field goal. Actually, it was blocked by Carl Brooks at the very end. A stunning loss. The clock strikes zero after that, and the Bears lose the game. Yeah, it was stunning, and the Bears have had these just awful losses this year. I guess the thing about this game, Dan, is that, yeah, you had the stunning end, but the Bears did not play badly in general. What are your first thoughts out of the gates here, Dan?
Yeah, I mean, it's I'm rubbing my face here because it is a step in the right direction in terms of the competence of the football team you put on the field today. But in the biggest moments, you didn't come up with game-winning plays enough to beat your rival. The most symbolic part of the day, Grody, today is Carl Brooks blocking the 46-yard field goal by Cairo Santos to end the game and telling reporters in the locker room that he blocked it with his left middle finger. So if you are keeping score at home, the Bears just lost to the Packers. The Packers just gave them the left middle finger on the way out the door here at Soldier Field. And it's every single week there's a different twist to how dispiriting these losses can be. And we're 3 weeks removed from the Hail Mary, and we're 2 weeks removed from the unraveling in Arizona, and we're 1 week removed from the game that cost Shane Waldron his job. And now the Bears have picked themselves up after what was overall a decent performance, but still not good enough. And that's just the story of the Chicago Bears for the last 35 years.
And we'll talk about some of the good and the bad. Yeah, 35 years indeed. Right. We keep doing this. But this year in particular, with those losses that you just mentioned, they've been stunning. And we'll break it all down. But I think it would be good to start off the locker room portion of this podcast today, because there's been some doozies this year for the Bears where there have been some quiet locker rooms. I don't know. I mean, it could be recency bias, because Dan and I just got up from the locker room about an hour ago as we were broadcasting from Soldier Field, fresh out of there. And I thought that Montez Sweat, Dan, I want you to listen to him and just his thoughts, how he, as we try to describe what happened, listen to Montez Sweat like you probably have not heard him before.
Yeah, it's been a crazy year. A couple of these things that's just been happening this year, like, it's never happened to me in my career. And it's happening multiple times within a year. It's just kind of crazy.
So what is going through your mind when that field goal is missed at the end?
I don't really know how to describe it. Defeat. Yeah, I don't know how to describe it.
Can a team only take so many of these gut punches?
We're grown men at the end of the day. When stuff like this happens, we just got to pull tighter as a group. It's football. It's a week-to-week game. So, just got to pull tighter.
Do you think this group will?
Of course. We got the guys to do it. So, yeah.
Does it also process in your heads that here you are within a field goal of beating the Packers for the first time in 10 games, and then that happens, and the first divisional game of the year, no less?
Yeah, I mean, we got to make better plays. That's really what it comes down to.
Pretty dejected sounding Montez Sweat right there. And I do wonder, Dan, like, how much more can they take of this before?
Yeah,
and I know that there's been moments, right, where it feels like they're giving up, but like everything they're saying rings hollow right now. Like, just, and I understand, just because it was so stunning and deflating.
It's cumulative, right? And that's what you're getting at there. And you can hear it in Montez's voice, is that this is cumulative. And when you have two games like the Washington game and today where, you know, you've got the victory in your hands. One of them, you've got the lead with 26 seconds left and you can't protect it. This one, you had an offense that responded after the defense gave up the go-ahead touchdown and put you in position to win the football game. And then there's coaching questions, and then there's, you know, execution questions. And then ultimately it comes down to one final play, and the other team executes better than you do on the game deciding play. In Washington, it's a Hail Mary that went wayward in the worst possible way. And we documented that, you know, to great lengths. And this is a kick where the Packers tell you in their locker room after the game that they saw some things with the Bears protection scheme up front where they thought they could get penetration right up the middle and block a kick today. You know, Matt LaFleur said after the game that special teams coordinator Rich Bisaccia told his unit he would be stunned if they didn't block a kick today, whether it be a PAT or a field goal. And they get one in the biggest moment of the game because they found something, a wrinkle in their game plan and their strategy that allowed Carl Brooks to get enough penetration up the middle. And Cairo Santos's kick, which he thought had a clean snap, good hold, and solid contact, is low enough for it to hit the left middle finger of Carl Brooks. And here we are talking about a 4-6 football team that's in last place and can't buy a break.
I want to talk about Caleb Williams's day, which will entail some of the good. We will get to that, but I think this is a good time now with some of the things that Dan was just talking about in the opposite locker room, and that will be addressed right here. Let's hear what Cairo Santos had to say right after the game. You and I walked into the locker room, and there was Cairo Santos ready to meet with reporters after missing the 40 or getting the 46-yarder blocked by Carl Brooks. He, as far as he was concerned, as far as Cairo was concerned, it was a good operation. That the operation was good. He said that maybe he could have kicked it a little bit higher. They did mention, you know, wondering if Scott Daly, the long snapper, was interfered with in any way with the defense hovering over him. I don't know that that was the case, but, you know, DeSantos said he watched it on his phone and didn't see anything wrong, kind of pointed to himself. I'm sure they will see it differently when they look at the tape.
Yeah, I'm sure they'll find a thing or two wrong with it. And situationally, you know, it's something that we've kind of got to dive into a little bit because the Bears did have time. They had a timeout remaining. And even though they crossed into field goal range with the 12-yard completion that Caleb Williams hit to Keenan Allen, they had an opportunity to shorten that field goal and get a little closer and get a little closer, whether it's running the football, maybe running a very safe pass, whatever it may be. They had a chance to shorten it. And Matt Eberflus chose to be conservative the same way Matt Nagy did 5 years ago when they lost to the Chargers and they didn't want to take the risk of something bad happening at the you know, with the possible reward of something good happening. And ultimately you have a kick from 46 yards that gets blocked. There is second guessing that can occur with the decision to not try to shorten that kick a little bit. Cairo did say that his range kicking toward the south goalpost was 57 yards. They were ideally set up on the left hash, so that was all in line. You know, they prepared for that properly. He had a left-to-right wind that he liked, got a good snap, got a good hold, thought he hit a good ball. Things happen, you know, and one of the things that Cairo said afterwards is sometimes you have to realize that the other team is trying to stop you from making the game-winning play, and sometimes they make a better play than you did. And so that was kind of the stance he took as part of that five-minute session that he did with us by his locker. But it's just it's wild, Mark, and I know we'll get into some of this, but you're talking about a game here where the defense had a chance to close, and for the second time in 4 weeks, blew the save, right? Save opportunity, blew it. And in this instance, it's Jalen Johnson falling down on a 60-yard completion to Christian Watson. That is the backbreaker. And then they score a couple plays later on a Jordan Love 1-yard TD run. And then somehow your rookie quarterback lifts you out of a 3rd-and-19 hole on the game-deciding drive and gets you 3 clutch completions, 2 to Rome Odunze, 1 to Keenan Allen. And then you've got your kicker who you've been really, you know, it's been easy to rely on Cairo Santos over the last several years. So you have no thought in the back of your head that he's going to come up small in this moment. And yet it happens, you know, and it's from Montez Sweat a few minutes ago, you just feel the disbelief kind of blended into the dejection the Bears are feeling, because it's not just losing. It's like, I can't believe that happened. I'm looking at my game book right now in my notebook. You know, I write Santos 46-yard field goal attempt. 30 seconds later, I write NFW, NFW, NFW. I think you know what that stands for. No bleeping. Just the way the Bears are losing these games is as significant as anything.
Unbelievable. And by the way, I just sent in the Cairo Santos audio, so we should be able to hear that in just a little bit. Even the Take the North makes its errors sometimes. So we'll get that in here for you so you could hear that in just a sec. I will say, you know, it's fair to point out, Cairo Santos had made a 53-yarder in the game. Matt Eberflus's reason for not trying to get the ball a little bit closer is they said that the Green Bay defense was stacking the box. In other words, you were not going to be able to conservatively run. Did not want a loss on that. And he said that the wind was at his back. So all of those were fairly sound. I mean, we know that Cairo Santos is a good kicker. So I was stunned that he missed the kick, Dan, honestly.
No question. I just remind people that, and I wrote it in my column at ChicagoTribune.com, there is a history book of Chicago Bears place-kicking blunders, right? And one of them includes a playoff double doink blunder by Cody Parkey that was just down the way here, and it was, I think that one was 43 yards, and then the Eddie Pinheiro kick, you know, 9 months later or 10 months later, whatever it was, on the same field, that was from 41 yards that sailed just a little bit outside the left upright when they didn't try to get more yards. You can never feel confident enough. You can never feel safe enough. You know, I've just experienced too many of these. They go back to the Robbie Gould miss in the Metrodome in 2013, right, where Mark Trestman chose to kick on second down in overtime without trying to shorten the kick and missed it, and then they lost that game, and everything went spiraling from there. I just never take my chances with that. I try to get a few more yards. If you lose one or two, so be it. But at least you tried, right? Like, to get a little bit more. And so it's something they're going to have to live with, and then they're going to have to examine what went wrong up front with the protection that allowed Carl Brooks to come free.
Let's hear what Cairo Santos had to say about it. All these questions that we're asking will be answered right here.
Obviously, the question, what happened on the miss there?
Yeah, I got a chance to watch on my phone real quick because I just wanted to see what kind of the operation looked like. And I think they just made a play more than, you know, anything. The ball looked like it was right on target. But that situation, I'm always going to look myself, you know, what I could do better. And, you know, I think that I like the way I hit the ball here, but, you know, maybe if I hit it a little higher, you know, that doesn't happen. But I think they just got enough penetration to make a play, and credit to them.
More than comfortable not trying to shorten that kick at all there in the last 30 seconds or so?
No, I just hit the same ball I always hit. I felt like it was right on target, like the line that it took. And 94 just made a great play and put his hands right in the trajectory where the ball started. So, like I said earlier, I'll look myself in the mirror and just see, you know, how can I continue to get better and hit the ball better. So, you know, if they do make a play like that, I can still have enough elevation and clear it. But, yeah, they just made a play.
Cairo Brooks, I just talked to him, and he said that Bisaccia called something that they'd never done, actually, when he moved or where he moved. How do you even prepare for something like that without taking this all on yourself?
They made a change that made that play. No credit to them. You know, Bisaccia is a great coach. We respect their unit, him as a coach. And, I think they just made a play and got enough penetration right in the path of the ball.
Kyra, you said you watched the replay. Anything they did over at Scott look a little questionable to you, just based on what you know about the rules and everything?
I know you can't hit a long snapper, so I don't know if Scott got hit or anything. It didn't look like he lined up over the snapper, so that should be okay. But I don't know if the way he hit the long snapper while his head was down is okay. You know, but definitely seemed like his penetration came right over the snapper. So that definitely was something we'll have to look at. Yeah.
Look, we're all going to look at this more closely when we have time to, and slow it down and see exactly what happened. But Dan, to me, they just made a play that they were just out schemed on that particular play with what Bisaccia was doing, and the Bears were not able to answer. So this falls on Richard Hightower to figure out exactly what happened and how they can not let that happen again. I don't think there's much more to it than they were just out schemed and they made a play, and that's why Cairo Santos missed the kick.
Yeah, and it's unfortunate, again, because I know you hinted on it. Caleb Williams, for the second time in 4 weeks, led a clutch fourth quarter drive The one in Washington actually put you ahead in the closing minute of the game, and this one put you in position to win the game. And so you're seeing some of this clutch gene from Caleb Williams in game on the line drives that should make you feel really good. You know, the long-term future of this team is going to rely on having a quarterback that can deliver in those moments. To see him dig out of that 3rd and 19 hole and get you down there for that kick, you say to yourself, damn, like that's really promising and really positive for the rookie quarterback. But eventually this team needs results at the end of the day so that they can ride that swell of belief and momentum into the next game. And in this case, they're back in an emotional cleanup process. And that's where they've been since they left London, Grody. It's a mess emotionally. And you heard from Cairo. You heard from Montez Sweat. We heard from other guys in the locker room, DJ Moore, Rome Odunze, DeAndre Swift, DeMarcus Walker. And you feel the weight of this losing streak on them. And that toll is really real here as we get to the end of November.
It is real, and you know there was it's such a conflict because the offense playing well was huge today against a not bad defense of the Green Bay Packers. So as the week goes on, I wonder if there will be more good than bad taken out of this, even with everything, even with 11 straight losses against the Packers. You're 2 games under 500 now, and your playoff chances are dissipating. You've got Minnesota here, then at Detroit, then Seattle, and then at Green Bay. So the schedule is a bitch as it continues to be, but it was so important that Caleb got himself back together. 23 of 31, 231 yards. Again, in interception free, turnover free, did not throw a touchdown pass. He also ran for 70 yards on 9 carries. And as you and I were talking right before we came on air, 9 for 16 on third down. That's massive. I mean, just considering what they have not been able to do, like embarrassing numbers on third down in the previous 3 weeks too.
It was like 4 for 40, wasn't it, in the previous 3 games or something like that?
Just awful. And I think it's also fair to point out, Dan, that on that final drive, that Caleb takes back-to-back sacks, and it's like, oh, no.
Right.
And this is like where it's game time for Thomas Brown, the new coordinator. It's game time for Caleb. Back-to-back, 3rd and 19. Then, as you said, the 16-yarder to Rome Odunze. 4th and 2, a 21-yarder to Rome Odunze, and then throwing 12 yards to Keenan Allen. So there was so much good for it. Not perfect, but a lot of good for Caleb Williams. And I think this should point him back in the right direction.
Well, and Caleb said after the game that when you get in those 2-minute situations, it's find your one-on-ones and find your guys, right? And so know where your matchups are, know where you've got one-on-ones, and then go make plays, you know? And he said it was time to make plays, and he made plays. He made 3 big ones to push them into field goal range with a chance to win a football game that they really had no business winning. And it was really impressive to see. You mentioned the first 2 sacks to start that drive. He hadn't been hit a lot all game. He had only been sacked 1 time up until that point. And then all of a sudden, Braxton Jones gets hit with a bull rush. They let some other pressure leak through. And you're sitting there going, okay, I guess this is how it's going to end. It's 3rd and 19. Scramble drill. He gets out of a sack on the 3rd down play and hits Rome. And then the 4th down play, I mean, that was a low percentage throw, you know, a fade route up the right sideline on 4th and 3 for 21 yards. But it's 2 guys that believe in each other. It's 2 guys that were drafted in the top 10 with the intent on making big plays and big moments. And so you go, damn, like that's really special stuff. I want to get to a few more of these before we close this podcast, but I'm going to read you one of the 3-word reviews that because it marries up with what you just said. And this one was from at the Hard Biz, and it was Caleb isn't broken. And I think that's one conclusion that people are taking out of today is that, okay, like he responded after a really rough couple weeks here, and you've got this feeling like, okay, 231 yards, 70 on the ground. I thought the running, Mark, as much as anything, was really good to see, given he recognized some of the man-to-man coverage, and when it wasn't there, he just took off with his legs, kept the chains moving, and did some really nice things there. So Caleb isn't broken is an important conclusion, even in a dispiriting loss.
And I believe, let's do this. Let's go down to the podium now. I believe Dan Wiederer has a question for Caleb Williams right here. Let's listen to this.
You described your emotional swing of anticipating a game when he kicked there, and then it's blocked, and you're walking out of here as a loser.
Yeah, not a loser. situation to learn from. You know, if we want to really go back, the drive before ended up punting. And, you know, if we score right there, put 3 points on the board or anything like that, it makes the game a lot different. And so that's even before the 2 minute drive. We had the ball with like 5 minutes left. And so, you know, on that drive, can do better, make a few more routine plays, you know, be better in those ways. But, you know, starts there. And then, you know, when we get those shots at the end, you know, that's all you can ask for. Defense, you know, obviously they gave up a touchdown, put us back on the field with more than enough time to be able to go down and score. I put those guys back on the field and do it all over again if we had to. So believe in those guys, believe in them over and over and over again. That's my guy, Santos, and that special teams unit, and we do it all over again.
And he made a lot of receivers happy today, Dan. Roma Dunze, 6 catches, 65 yards with that 21-yard long. DJ Moore, 7 catches for 62 yards. Cole Kmet had, 3 catches for 42 yards in this game. Keenan Allen, 4 for 41. DeAndre Swift, a couple of catches, 2 catches for 13 yards. Roshan Johnson caught an 8-yard pass as well. And while we're at it, let's not forget to mention the DeAndre Swift 39-yard touchdown run, because it's easy to forget some of the highlights on a day like today. That's again, Caleb Williams has had a habit of answering questions very well this year, Dan.
Don't forget, Roshan Johnson scored from the 1 yard line. That's become a trend here in this bear season. Thomas Brown did not try to get very creative. We were told that Thomas Brown was going to be more creative. He was in a lot of ways today, but when they got down at the 1 yard line, he said, let's just give it to Roshan, push this thing across the goal line. Roshan almost scored on the previous play. Appreciated the ease of the concept that they ran down there at the goal line. Doug Kramer checking in again. By the way, do you want to fill our audience in on the fact that we rode the elevator down to the locker room after the game with Doug Kramer's grandparents, and they were very pleased to talk to one Mark Grody, who they are loyal listeners to?
They were so sweet. They were awesome. I think it was you that figured out they were Doug, because they were wearing the 68.
David Haw.
Is this Haw?
Your predecessor.
Haw asked, the Kramers. And then I was like, these guys, I know from Doug being on the score that they listen to the score. So I was like, you guys listen to the score? She goes, we love the score. I work for them. Who are you? I'm Mark Grody. Mark Grody, we listen to you all the time. So, yeah,
said,
it was
you're
a big
the
moment.
You're the mini fridge guy. That's what she gave you credit. So
I accepted it, although I did not start the mini fridge, although I very well could have. I did take full credit for the mini fridge.
It's a fun moment. Elevator moments post game are always welcome here on Take the North.
Never know who you're going to be stuck on an elevator with. And in that case, it was an absolute joy. The Kramers, Mr. and Mrs. Kramer, just absolutely lovely people. I do have to get back to you brought it up, Dan, one of the crucial defensive breakdowns in this game. And Christian Watson had a big game today. What was 150 yards or so, I think he had today. But Jalen Johnson, fourth quarter, it's 19-14 Bears. Jalen Johnson falls down on the coverage, a 60-yard play to Christian Watson. And as you can imagine, Dan, Jalen Johnson was not a happy interview subject in the locker room afterwards talking about this game. Here's Jalen Johnson.
Hurt, especially for myself. I have no business tripping. I got to find a way to stay up, because I know if I stay up, I'm going to make that play. So, I mean, just for me, you got to figure out a way to be better.
How did you trip? Big feet just got tangled up?
Yeah. The BS play, tripping. He gets up, run for however long he was running. And then, of course, getting the field goal block. We did everything right. Some big third down, fourth down conversions. We get the ball where we want it. 3 seconds left to go. Kick gets blocked. But, I mean, at the end of the day, we just got to figure it out. And it starts with me. I mean, right now, of course, it's tough. Every loss is tough. But seems like we've been dealing with some losses like this clearly multiple times this year, so just got to figure out a way to keep going.
Is that surreal to you to have two of those in the same year?
Yeah, it's almost comical. The luck of the draw at this standpoint, but we got to figure it out how to be better.
Comical is a good way to describe it. And Dan, I should point out too, and to the listeners and the viewers, the one thing that is not in there is that Jalen Johnson also took heavy exception
to the idea that the turf could have caused him to trip or that he would have tripped without help from somebody else. So he was not pleased with that idea. And he did say that he was tripped or tripped by the wide receiver. I don't know, like, if he thinks he did it on purpose, but it was the contact that he made with Christian Watson. And obviously that was massive.
I mean, my guess is it was incidental. It'd be very hard in that circumstance to intentionally trip a guy while running a route and trying to catch a football. Christian Watson did bobble the ball a little bit on his way to the ground, but I agree with the officials. I don't think the ball hit the ground in a way that should have made it incomplete. It goes for 60 yards, Grody, and that's a moment, again, where your defense was on the field with a five-point lead in the closing minutes of a football game, and we talked all spring and summer about this is going to be a top-five unit, this, that, the other thing. Step up and win the football game. You know what I mean? Close the door. Slam it shut. Leave no doubt. Don't let it back into the hands of your quarterback and your kicker. And they didn't get it done. And fluke play or not fluke play, that's the NFL. And it's just another moment where it is getting comical with the ways that these games are falling apart because you couldn't write it. I mean, look, Kevin Fishbane and Adam Johns are sitting two seats down from me with like 30 seconds to go, and Kevin's relaying to Adam what he's going to write for The Athletic. And he said, I'll probably write the Caleb to Rome connection. I said, be careful getting too far ahead of yourself. You're probably going to be writing about this Aaron Scott Daly snap that's coming here. I was joking.
No, you didn't.
I was joking, obviously, but you've just come to expect the worst,
oh,
right,
man.
Over the last month with this football team. And that's just kind of the karma that's following them around right now.
Two coaching things are the last thing that I have here, and we'll be talking all week about the Bears here on Take the North. Did you have an issue with Matt Eberflus reviewing that Christian Watson 60-yard play? I did not.
Not major. I mean, you spend a timeout doing it, but no big deal. You had enough time in the bank to do it. You're trying to kind of create something like a gift, right? Like you're trying to get a gift at that point of the game to reverse what was a 60-yard play. Too big of a play, too big of a moment to not give it a shot.
That's
like number 40 on my list of things that I would lose sleep over tonight.
Yeah, and then just for the hell of it, Matt LaFleur going for it on that fourth down play with the Bears up 19-14 and didn't get it. Could you believe he went for it on that? I was like, what? Wow.
Right. And you, me, and Hall were talking on the way to the locker room. I had a problem with Matt Eberflus going for two in the third quarter when DeAndre Swift scored his touchdown because there just was too much time left. And in that type of game, I would rather take the six-point lead. And then LaFleur compounds it and basically gives the gift back because instead of cutting it to 19-17 with a field goal there, he goes for it on fourth down and fails. And the Bears catch a huge break in that moment. I don't know what LaFleur was thinking there. I think he would be under attack all week had they lost this football game for that decision. But alas, the Packers live a much more charmed life than the people that work out of Lake Forest do.
No doubt. Dan, anything that is in your notes that you want to get across right now on Take the North before we exit for now?
Yeah, so two more things I want to point out. I do think that the offense did show a little bit more of a flow. I promised you on Thursday that we were going to be talking about complimentary football, so I wanted to bring that up here on this podcast because they got the takeaway today. They got the Terrell Smith interception down near the goal line, and the offense turned that into a touchdown. They marched the other way, went 76 yards for a touchdown. That's complimentary football. You get a takeaway, you go down, and you do something with it. And then they got the ball back after halftime and added another score. And that was part of a stretch where they got three consecutive scoring drives. And for a team that had been having a lot of difficulty the last 2 weeks getting any offensive momentum going, it was good to see those things kind of play out. I'll leave that with you there, and then I want to read you about three or four three-word reviews because there's a couple good ones here that are worth pointing out, and I'll tease people to the feed.
Hit it. Go for it.
Oh, okay. So we had a couple. Rich Campbell, former co-host of mine on a different podcast years back. He chimed in today. Apparently, this game was on in Indianapolis, and he gave us block and cackle, which I think was a play on the phrase block and tackle, and he was coming at that from a Packers angle. He's probably going to get skewered pretty hard on the Twitter machine for that. Dave Kerner, we had media people chiming in
on the
three-word reviews. He went with even more heartbreak. We had several fire Matt Eberfluses. I gave you the Caleb's Not Broken one, and then this one from Group Chat Sports came with a GIF, and I love this one because it was Lucy Strikes Again, and the picture was of Lucy pulling the football away from Charlie Brown, and Charlie Brown landing on the ground. And so, like, this, you know, like, this is good stuff. We've got over 500 responses right now on the three-word review. If you get to my Twitter feed, you can find some of the responses. I love the way our audience steps up, goes creative, and finds a way to express themselves. Chris K speaks for a lot of people in the Chicago area. I'm not going to read that one out loud because that probably will get us in trouble. And then, you know, look, like, good coaching matters. That's another one from Mike Nunez. You get the point, but that gif of Lucy pulling the football away from Charlie Brown feels oh so familiar.
That beautiful. I'll give you a couple final bullet points, including something from my social media as well. While we're at it, like, hang a star on the TJ Edwards play on the going for it on fourth down. I didn't even mention that because we watched that replay several times, and TJ Edwards makes that stop at the goal line, and I wish it would have been more consequential for the Bears' sake. And, Dan, I would like you to take a guess here. I wrote, and if you saw it, you saw it. That's cool. But I put up on Twitter late in the third quarter with the Bears up 19-14. I did a little X poll, a little Twitter poll. Will the Bears win this game? Up 19-14 now in the third quarter. Would you care to guess the percentages of yes to no on a very simple yes or no question?
My bigger question would be, how long was the poll open for? So, like, did you have it open just for a small, finite amount of time, or did people continue responding all the way to the end?
As a matter of fact, it's still open. It's open for the next 19 minutes and 23 seconds.
Then my guess is that no is probably up 96-4 right now.
But actually, in the moment, yes, never had a chance, even in the moment. It turned out to be 76-24, but that's what it was out of the gate, man. People knew what was coming, and I don't think they necessarily knew there would be like a sports tragic ending that we saw out here at Soldier Field, a block kick, but they know what's going on with this team. They know they don't have karma. They know that this team is messed up right now, and they also know that it's the damn Green Bay Packers. So nobody, there was zero confidence. So I'm sure Bears fans are shocked and depressed and upset, but when they wake up, they're gonna be like, yeah, I didn't really expect the Bears to win that game anyway.
Carl Brooks, left middle finger. That's how it ended today.
Carl with a K. That's it for us here. Wow. Bears lose to Green Bay 20-19. And for Dan Weeder of the Chicago Tribune and The Score, I am Mark Rohde of The Score. Dan and I will be out at Halas Hall all week trying to put the pieces back together, as the Bears will be right back here at Soldier Field on Sunday for a game against the Minnesota Vikings. We appreciate you watching and listening and liking and commenting and all of that kind of good stuff. It means a lot to us. Also, big thank you to our executive producer of the Take the North podcast, Adam Sadzinski. Hope everybody has a great day, and this is absolutely Take the North.
Good talk. See you out there.
Thank you, everybody. The Bears.